Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, my name's Nick.
Hello, I'm Woogie.
We are the Mouth of Manliness. This is a podcast all about mental health. But it's not just mental health. It's kind of about people's lives and about how they cope and how they manage in the world.
Yeah, and digging into the stories that make them who they are.
Yeah, so it's real life stories where we talk about things that people have been through and how they've managed and how they've coped and how they've come out the other side. So sometimes it's just me and Woogie here, but more often than not, we're talking to guests, sometimes more well-known guests, but more often than anything, it's just normal people who have been through interesting situations.
Yeah, and they've all got a lovely story to tell.
Yeah, so Mouth of Manliness, we are about mental health, but we're more about people and stories.
So, welcome to the Mouth.
The Mouth of Manliness. Welcome back to the Mouth of Manliness. Welcome back, season three. So we've had a bit of a break. I haven't really been doing anything, but we're back. Season three. Thank you for joining us. And it's not just me. Remember, it is Woogie too.
Oi, oi, how's it going? I'm now co-host of this wonderful podcast.
Yeah. So, it's not just me anymore, which I'm really pleased about. We have been squirreling away getting some episodes under the belt, though. We have done a few. We've done some interesting ones already.
Yeah.
So far, we've had quite a few women on the show, which I've really enjoyed, because it's a complete different perspective and flavour on things. We've probably got quite a few more women coming up as well.
Yeah.
So I'm quite pleased about that, because the Mouth of Manliness says manliness, but it's not just manliness. We are still when we ended season one, we went into lockdown. We did the whole of season two, like 38 episodes through lockdown. And we are still in fucking lockdown. And I think what I want to say is that this second load of lockdown I think everyone's found it so much harder, because it's like, oh, again. And then you start thinking, oh, it's been a year. And then the kind of those cold realities are kicked in. So, for example, my friend lost his mum the other day to COVID, I actually found it really upsetting, because I knew his mum and she was lovely, but it kind of brought home that harsh reality of, like, the fact that, you know, dealing with losing your parent,
I couldn't imagine,
is fucking terrible, and that kind of reality of how fucking awful this all is. Like, most people you know are going to, like, they've lost someone either close to them or they know someone who's lost someone.
Yeah.
So the amount of, like, grief that's just floating around in the air, and the amount of, like, and the impact that has on our fucking mental health is, like, insane. And it's just kind of put across this big, like, you know, like, off the back of Christmas. I know everyone's going on at Christmas, and I'm not a big fan of Christmas, but... that constant kind of turning you into the ground, screwing you down. And I think we've had so much of that. I mean, we've been lucky because we've still been able to do things.
Yeah, of course.
But, like, a lot of people, you know, they really are just, they don't see anyone.
No.
And I was lucky enough to get a new job through lockdown, which I'm fucking blown away by.
Yeah, but miraculously, me as well.
Actually. Yeah, you as well. So we've both been like, lockdown hasn't been that bad to us.
Yeah.
But it does kind of occur to me that it's been really bad to others. So if you're listening to this and you've been through a hard time, I just want to kind of send you some virtual love and say that, you know, you're not alone. A lot of people are really struggling at the moment. A lot of people are losing people.
Mm.
But that means there's also a lot of people to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's like reaching out and talking to someone so that they feel better and then you feel better as well as a result.
I said this on our episode at the end of the last season, right? And it's like the importance of like reaching out and getting someone else in your life. That literally changed my perception during this time, and like having you local to me, having like that without that, without having sort of someone like in my life to sort of even just to know that you're not okay has been fucking massively important, man.
It's so strange because it's quite often it's just like knowing you can talk to someone, like a conversation can change your life.
Yeah,
you know it really can. Simplest of things can really make a difference. And sometimes, like my friend who lost his mum, I knew she wasn't doing well, and I've been texting him regularly, just texting.
Yep.
You know, like there's nothing in a fuck. It's not. That's really easy to do.
Mm.
But you know, like just every couple, like. So I'll just kind of think twice a week, I'll make sure I text. And like, I know that if I get that, it's really nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just think, oh, I'm not, you know, you might not want to share everything. You might not want to talk about what's going on because sometimes that just makes you feel worse or you don't feel ready to talk about it. But if someone texts you and you know that someone gives a shit, it makes a massive difference.
Yeah, of course it does.
It's really simple, isn't it?
But we've Nick and I had a discussion prior to sort of starting the season, and it was about my sort of input being that a topic for when we have our conversations, right?
Yeah.
When we need to do this for our own mental health, I think, and like this entire period of lockdown has been directly linked for me anyway to like just so much change. And how change has affected me mentally, physically, but obviously everybody else, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like having to deal with stuff in a very different and strange way. Not being able to like go to the pub and get pissed and blurt out everything, and then you know try. I mean, not that that's ever it can be a solution, but it might not be a positive one sometimes.
It's a way of letting off steam though. Sometimes,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, so.
And you kind of have that taken away from you, so it's difficult.
Yeah, and it leaves your options quite limited. I mean, if you're creative, you can pick up a guitar like you do and I do, or you make songs or whatever. Unfortunately, my work is around that at times, which is lovely. And that's even then, it can be a challenge to just do it because of everything else that's going on. And like, yeah, it's really interesting on how we, I think, have changed in approaching our problems, and in many ways I think it's been quite good to sort of having no option for me personally, like for having no option but to go, I've got to sort my shit out otherwise, but then knowing that someone gives a shit on the end of the phone as well.
But, yeah,
and go on.
I think like. I noticed that you've gone through quite a few changes in many, like, as in some of it is like, yeah, you've moved house, like, at least twice.
At least twice, yep.
Over lockdown.
Yeah. Fun.
You know, you've had some family shit going on.
Yeah, yeah, lots. Like my my parents split up at the start of lockdown.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a 37-year-old man. My mum and dad have been together since I've known, and obviously I've had my family and children, and I've been through a breakup and stuff. But then to be put into a situation where I moved in with them for the first time in the best part of, I don't know, close to 20 years, I think. So then the first or second week of that, them splitting up, that was like, right, okay, shit, man. And then watching people lie about their situation because of lockdown, it's like, and I'm sat there just observing all this stuff, and then you don't expect it to affect you because you're an adult, and it's like, oh, do you know what, fucking hell. But in reality, then the knock-on effect of change and then being in a house there, it's not a happy time, really.
I'll never forget when my parents split up.
Mm.
Like, I was, I was like 20, I wasn't quite 21. And, it was really horrendous. As much as I kind of almost saw it coming, it's almost that, that triggered me going, right, that's it, I'm just going to drink all the time now.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, it really kind of, it just pushes you into a direction. And, but, like, yeah, I was at home, like, with my dad, and my mum moved out, and it was just fucking awful.
Yeah.
It really was. And I, because you're like, especially, like, that was the house I grew up in and all of that, and then it was, you know, the house has got to go. And I do feel for you, because, initially I was like, oh, shit, you got to move in with your parents.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's what I was like.
I know, and it's like, that's never good.
I mean, I was leaving Leon C to move in with a pal in London, but, well, a pal's place, back to East London where I lived and stuff, and yeah. And because of COVID and everything else, he was unable to move on, I was unable to move into his, and then there you go, like, I'm now back in Grays, all good though, do you know what I mean? But at the same point, then that, it was like, fucking hell, like, what is going on?
Yeah,
it felt like being a kid again, right?
Yeah.
And the relationship I was in at the time as well was how it was, and like the reliance on people to sort of feed into that and to sort of make you feel better. And it's just like, what the fuck? You don't know what day it is sometimes. That's been my year of consoling my mum, basically, because that's my dad moved out, and during that time as well, and I'm with my mum. You're like, okay, cool. Like, well, how the fuck do you deal with shit? Like, and I'm sure I'm not the only person that's happened to. Like, you know, potentially worldwide. Because you think of it was such a, pardon the term, isolated instance, isn't it? Because there's not a lot you can do to alleviate. Like, my mum needed support. And I think because of, if you consider that events are meant to happen, if you approach it from that way, I was meant to live there so that I could then look after my mum when she needed me. And I think that helped me have something to do and focus during a time when you're upheaval, you don't know if you're working, my work collapsed slightly after that. It's like, do you know, it's like, maybe it meant to happen.
That's what I was going to say. So, like, yeah, initially I was like, oh, fuck, you've got to live with your parents, that's shit. And then my parents split up, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, that's fucking awful. But it's strange because I think, like, you've been there for your mum, in a massive way, and you've been forced to be under each other's feet because you can't really go out and do anything.
And let me tell you, it weren't fun for a good amount of time. It was all shits and giggles, having quiz nights with a family over Zoom and drinking. But then you realise that you can't. I'm very used to living by myself. I'm not particularly like living by myself, but I'm used to the fact that if I just wanted to leave something now and be like, I'm going to go to work and come back and sort that later. But I'm in somebody else's house, and then you sort of go back on yourself, and you're like, it's like being a kid again, and it's just like, I just couldn't cope with that shit.
Yeah,
quite frankly.
I think you are in someone else's house.
Yeah, so you need to respect that, but you forget, and then it feels like you're a teenager.
Yeah, then it's like, but it's my mum, so
yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah,
like fuck,
so strange.
Fuck you, mum.
Yeah, basically.
But then in the same regard, you're like, oh, but sorry, mum, like, you're having a really tough time. It's really hard. But what's strange, though, is that through all of that, and although you are one of the most chaotic bastards I know...
yeah, totally.
Like, you seem to... Yeah, you thrive on chaos, I think.
I do, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah. I am that person.
And I don't think you'd have it any other way a lot of the time. But then I also saw you become really quite strong in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Like you've, even just down to like your, like, and it makes me laugh, you go on massive walks with weights in a bag on your back.
Yeah.
But you know, it was just a really positive way of dealing with things.
Yeah.
Like you haven't... Yeah.
I got fed up of my own moaning, brutally honest with you. I got fed up of me fucking moaning, and I got fed up of relying on other people to make me happy. Mm. I still do it. I still do that.
It's 100%.
100%. 100% still... I still need somebody to sort of, like, keep an ear out. And the problem is, if other people have got shit on, you miss that point, right? And sometimes it can come across as selfish or whatever, but... The reality is, if they're your true friends and they love you, as I would for anybody that are close, dear to me, if you bailed me and was like, I need to moan at you for an hour and I need you to fucking take this and deal with it for me, I would. And it's interesting because then you sort of start to assess those in your life, right? Which is, again, something I did throughout the middle of it.
You do.
I'm getting a lot better at it. And I'm getting a lot better at reacting as well, as opposed to sugarcoating other people's behaviour. Because if you're going to behave shitty to me or to people I care about, then you're going to slowly be out of my life. And that's as simple as that.
And I think
that is actually a positive thing. Yeah. It doesn't need to be like doom and gloom about it. It's like, actually, I'll still interact with you as a person. But the reality is, I know that this is too much ag for you to deal with a friend or someone else. And it's like, well, cool, don't. You know? And I wouldn't have been like that unless I'd been fucking forced to.
Yeah.
I would have still tried to make time for people. And it's like, do you know what? Like, fuck it.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think you don't need to be an arse about it, mm-mm, do you? It's about
not at all.
Acknowledging that, all right, this person isn't who maybe I thought they were.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe not the friend I thought they were. Yeah. And I've struggled with that, definitely. But like part of me getting better with that is just accepting that, what I'm doing really is looking for someone to kind of almost like save me, and that just doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist, but I think it can help when you're going, because change is linked to like trauma, right, as well, and the way you it affects you physically, emotionally. Like another friend of mine has just split up with their partner for years, and turns out there's a history there in that. And again, through lockdown, but there's been a history of unhappiness in their relationship. They've got children and stuff. And she got to a point where it's like, and she's had to spend a lot of time with a person and been like, I can't do this anymore with him. And how that affects them following that I've seen, and I've been quite supportive with her, and like, you know, and been sort of advising, not even advising, because it was a totally separate situation, different situation to me. But when I was splitting up, it's like, well, there's the push pull situation is always going to be there. I've got a relationship with the mother of my children, and it's now, thank God, focused. It tends to be a lot less emotional about our past and more just about their well being, and it gets there eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's that. Although you're always going to clash because there's resentment in a relationship,
yeah,
no matter what, like I do of the mother of my children.
It wouldn't have ended if there wasn't,
exactly,
some,
right?
If there wasn't an imbalance,
and you're still, and the amount of hate that builds up, and obviously the love and hate being so close to one another thing is exactly true and honest, because it brings out the same wants and needs in a way. Because you want positives versus then you want negatives, because you want something to fucking bounce off.
They're also quite so strange. Similar emotions.
They are, yeah. Yeah, well, they physically make you embody, right?
A similar physical response to it.
That's really interesting.
So, they are. They are really closely linked.
Yeah.
But it's hard, because, like, I don't think anyone ever really... You don't go into a relationship wanting it to end, do you?
No.
So you go in with expectations and wants and desires and needs. And if it ends, then, like, there's a part of you that are going to be angry with yourself because you know you could have done things better. But there's another part of it that's angry with the other person for not being that person that they thought you were.
Yeah.
Relationships are really difficult. Yeah. I often, you know, like when people kind of moan about friends or they moan about their other half, and I'm always like, what do you expect this to be easy?
Yeah, because it really isn't either. It's not, man. It's not. And that's like, I'm like, when I was younger, I guess I was a bit of a hypocrite because I'd always moan about a situation I was in a relationship. But then never, I'd be like, I need to be like this and this, and I never did it. And I'd be that person in the pub just moaning about a situation. And everyone would be like, for fuck's sake, sort it out. And you don't, because you're blind, like, you know, love is blind and so on and so forth. But like, it's just, it's a really hard thing to actually deal with, because you have to see your faults first,
yeah,
before you can move forward in it. And even if, like, because you had a relationship, if you're into somebody or you had a relationship, and this doesn't have to be love either, this can be friendships or whatever, there's something that attracted you to that person that you admire, probably are a bit envious of as well, because there's something that you want to learn, because we all take from each other in a way. Like, there's elements of it, like everyone's personality that we like being around for that reason, because you're attracted to it. And it's funny, because you feel let down when someone behaves a different way, and maybe you should just be more understanding. Because again, it's your projection of them. Like I've been in situations in relationships where I've projected this image, and it's not fucking there.
Yeah.
It's not there. I have totally created it.
And then you're angry, right? Because
it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now that comes down to the thing that we were saying earlier, but I always come back to, is that you're looking for something from that person.
Yeah.
All the time you're doing that,
yeah,
you're doing it wrong.
But how's have you ever been in a situation where, like, you know, when you was in a relationship that there was that in somebody, but you just didn't fancy him enough or something? Or what they gave you was exactly what you wanted, but around it was like, but there was so much that wasn't, that you then push him away.
That what you wanted was there, but there was so much going on around it that
the person themselves wasn't actually what I wanted,
right?
But they gave me everything I wanted emotionally. If that makes sense.
Okay.
So it's like.
Yeah, so then are you going to settle?
Are you going to, or do you like the challenge of someone that you completely adore, but they don't really give you that, or they give it to you when it suits them?
Yeah.
As opposed to it being a very natural thing that someone gives you, is what I mean.
Yeah.
Right? That's the difference of it.
Is that, you know, I was watching First Dates last night.
Yeah, it's a great program, that.
And it was like teen first dates, and there was like this girl on there, and she was like, "Oh, I really like Bad Boys."
Yeah.
And I always used to think,
"Do you?"
And it used to be, and that always pisses me off, because
it's a stupid fucking statement, isn't it? And that's a childish one.
I felt so lonely when I was like a teenager, and I never really, and I was always a bit afraid of girls, and I never really had girlfriends, and then my friends who treated girls really badly, always seemed to have. Like plenty of girls on the go, and they were like right studs, and it used to really, really make me sick.
Yeah,
because I'd be like, I'd never do that, and is it because it's that base feeling in you that's like, is it, you know, that kind of animal instinct in you, and then that desire to, like, that you've got the desire. But you haven't got, but the person's not the right person.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So then is that why we always want to change people? Because the desire is there. It's like, I fancy you so much, and you're exactly what I want. But actually, they're not what you really want, kind of thing. So is that, are you driven by desire? And I think quite often people are driven by desire.
Yeah, I think they are. I think a lot of things. And you got to think as well, your desire, what's the word, like parameters maybe, change as you get older and you want different things from people.
Yeah.
Like, because I know for a fact that you look at certain aspects, like some friends of mine, like I know that from a conversation I had with her, that she went for a bloke that she didn't actually fancy, but he had an air of stability that she'd never had before, because she went out with people that fucked her over all the time.
Yeah.
Right? So she then had a family with him, and was extremely bored, hated it. He was like never there, and then she got rid of him. And it's like, okay, so were you satisfied with that, or have you just
so far in one direction or so far in another direction? Yeah. And I think what happens is, I think people tend to see things one way or the other, and life's not like that. Life's a massive, like a sea of grey.
Mm.
You know, like there aren't really black and whites in life. So it's that idea that I want to be with someone who like really makes my heart race, and I just want to fuck them so much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, I want desire. I want to feel that all the time. That's not possible.
No,
like that's unrealistic.
I do think though, people talk about having like sort of sexual desire being linked to, I don't know, like it wavering and all that sort of stuff. But I've met people where it doesn't at all. Like they've been relationships, they've got very healthy, strong sex lives, and it's very open, and you can see that they're very much in love as a couple. And it's like,
yeah, but then that's probably because they've got the other bit as well, though.
Right? Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that they would have that general compatibility that they're both really good at, like they love each other so much that they're prepared to look bad, they're prepared to be they're prepared to give in, they're prepared to back down, you know, those are the things that I think that's where relationships kind of, that's where it all comes into the fore. Do you like that person enough that you're prepared
to do whatever,
to give yourself in to the fact that they want to do something a certain way? You know, like or as much as that goes against everything you've been brought up to believe,
of course.
You prepared to go, oh, I'll let that go?
You
know, like I always say, like, this is what I often think of my wife. It's like, and why we don't really get into arguments, because I always kind of bring it down to this idea that I don't care about anything enough that I'd risk losing her.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm always like, well, if that's what you want to do, then we'll do it. You know, like, I'm not going to, like, because I don't, it's not so important that I'd want to upset you over it.
No, and that's, I think that's exactly it. And I think it's something that needs, it can't just be about you. You need to be aware that your actions may upset somebody else.
Yeah, I think like people shouldn't get married until they're in their 30s.
Yeah, totally.
Like the idea.
Totally, man.
Even down to like, you know, like, and I know this isn't always the case. A lot of people get married a lot younger and they have children and they are very, very
stay together. It's fine, of course.
But there's a bit, like for me, I didn't really, I didn't kind of meet my wife until I was in my very late 20s. And by that point, I kind of got so much out of my system.
Yeah.
You know, like the desire to be a rock star, all these things, I kind of got out of my system. So at that point, I was really open to things.
Yep.
You know, like, and then I was open to her. And so I do think there's an advantage to have got to a point in life when you're a little bit like maybe stable. Or at least kind of a more emotionally stable, when you're like, I'm not looking for a fight because you want something that way. You know, like, I know that doesn't really matter because I've lived my life for so long to know that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's a difference between getting into those kind of proper relationships when you're a bit older.
Yeah. I think it's a bit about coming to peace with yourself as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not that I'm anywhere near that, but like I'm getting better at it.
I don't know. I think you've come a long way with that. I really do. Yeah. Like in the time I've known you, you've become much calmer, and you're much kind of you just seem much more together.
Yeah,
you're not nearly as frantic. I mean, you're still fucking chaotic, but
I'm still frantic.
You're not as frantic, but you just seem a bit. Like, kind of a bit more, like, calm with yourself, just in your whole demeanour, really.
I think I've related to people that have, like, quite severe anxiety, because I've had quite severe anxiety, and I understand where it comes from. And people were, like, really keen to sort of jump on the fact that, like, Oh, everyone's fucking got anxiety issues now. It's like, well, we've always had them. Like, it's just, I think we're in an anxiety fueled world now. Everything's reactive. It's all like everyone needs validation and verification of who they are.
Everything's very like, fast.
Everything is, yeah, it's immediate. Like people, I don't know. Like I've been guilty of like saying to partners like, why don't you like look at my shit on like Instagram and stuff? It's like, what, you're logging me off? And it's like, the fact is, yeah, they probably are. But why the fuck do I care?
Yeah,
like,
no.
You know, again, and it's again, like, I'm a 37-year-old man. Why do I give a shit? But what I want is the person I love to go,
to be,
I really like that thing you said. Like, I'm interested in you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I talk a lot about myself, I guess, at times. And if you're going to be with someone like me, you need to understand that I talk a lot about myself because I do a lot of stuff and I'm excited all the time. Like, and I'm also frantic as fuck, right? So, yeah.
But I dare I
it's not
say,
narcissism.
Narcissism is. I would say you talk a lot about yourself because you've got insecurities.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah.
And, I know you enough to know that you have got some insecurities.
Yeah, 100%.
And so when you say, like, you know, to someone, why you're not looking? It's not, you're not saying, like,
look at me.
Yeah,
no,
you're
I'm not.
Saying,
oh, can you
like,
can
care
you,
about
can
me?
You care? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah.
So it's more about insecurity than anything else. It's funny because I was talking about this today, just generally about you know, like quite often we look to blame people for things.
Yeah,
you know,
of
like,
course
it's like,
you do.
Well, I'm fucking fucked up. That's my dad's fault.
Yeah,
and then when you then look into it a little bit more, you start to understand their issues, and you realise that we've all got issues.
Of course we have, yeah.
And those issues are kind of quite often drivers for us.
Yeah.
But more often than not, most things are based on insecurity.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. And then, our fast-paced media-driven life is driven on cashing in on our
insecurities. Of course it is, yeah.
So it's like, it's really hard to step back and not know. And I guess I'm just saying that quite often you kind of, yeah, it's easy, like, we judge people and we get fucked off of people, but more often than not, they've got a fucking handful of shit that they're carrying.
But I think you've got to be aware, and I've been guilty, I've said this before on the podcast as well, like, I've been guilty of not fully accepting someone's issues going on when I needed them at a particular time. However, like, I know, and again, this might just be me, but I know that I'm very, very willing, and I have done for many people in my life, drop fucking everything and do what they want for me. I'll do what they want from... I'll give them what they want from me, right? And what they need from me at that specific time. And that could be a number of things. It could be fucking money, it could be picking something up, doing something, an ear, whatever, but I always do it. And then I think, well, if you're not getting that back, and if you're not, what are you meant to do with that?
I think that's when it comes down to the, like, that,
who you're around, or
no, there's that accepting that person isn't,
yes,
isn't the right person, or
yeah,
that they're not,
I'm not just talking about like love relationships,
yeah,
like relationships,
or that they're not ready.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So, like, if you're, especially if someone's got like mental health issues, for example,
yeah,
like you could have, like, it could take you a lifetime to be ready, to be safe with someone, to be all those things, and like, you, if it makes you ill while you're waiting, then you should go.
Yes, of course.
You should go.
Yeah.
Because
you're never going to get
if you get ill, then you're no help anyway.
Yeah, and I think actually I've been in a situation where I have got ill.
Yeah.
So that's not, and it's something I persisted.
So you
in a
feel
long time.
Bad yeah, because you feel like you've let someone down who's in a bad way. But the reality of it is that they weren't ready to kind of like be that person for you anyway.
Yeah.
So if you walking away is going to make very little odds to their overall issues.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And you can still be there for people, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, always, but...
But I just think you shouldn't do things at the risk of your own...
Like, yeah.
Your own mental well-being. Because two mentally ill people together.
Yeah, fucking nightmares. Yeah.
That makes the whole thing worse for everyone. It does, yeah. It does. So it's like, actually, you're not doing anyone any favours by being there all the time and not getting anything, because then you get resentful. Yeah. It's like, these are hard things. And the thing is, I'm saying it like, it's like, well, you just do that and you just do that. And
no, but it's net, I mean.
But there's fucking hard things.
There's no script to this shit, man. We're all individuals. We all react emotionally, physically, how we do.
Yeah, when emotions are involved, it's like, there's no such thing as an easy thing.
No.
And it's easier if someone cheats on you or if someone does it gives you really bad, because then you're like, done. That's it. You cross the line, I'm done. Yeah. But if there's that kind of gradual drip of, like, you know, I love you, but I'm not ready.
Yeah.
Like, that's so much worse. I've been in relationships like that before.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it fucking slaughtered me, and it made me really, really ill.
Yeah.
And then it took me to be in a decent relationship with my wife when I realised that I should have walked. Like, I realised where I was at.
Can I say something as well, which is quite poignant with me there? When you said, like, you say ill, it makes you ill. And it's like, I've never sort of used that term in the situations I've been in. I've gone, I'm full of anxiety, but using the actual term ill is literally how I felt, like fucking ill.
It's a good one, and
it's like, do you know what? It's a really, really strong word because it makes you relate and go, yeah, I was actually fucking sick. Yeah, I was sick. Like, waking up with sickness in your gut because of how you feel emotionally is not healthy, man.
Yep.
It's not healthy.
If you're mentally ill, invariably you get physically ill. So yeah, of course you do. If you're mentally ill, what happens after a period of time, your body just starts going, fuck off.
Yeah.
So then you'll just start getting ill a lot, colds, all that a lot. You know, sickness and all of those things will go with it.
Yeah. And Woody Allen said... Didn't Woody Allen say, I don't get angry, I just grow a tumour instead?
Yeah.
Is it from Manhattan? Is it Don't Get Angry?
I don't know, but it's
from Manhattan, I think, or Annie Hall. It's one of them. But yeah, it's what Woody Allen said. Yeah. It might be wrong, but wrong quote, but yeah, he did like say that.
But it's so true. Like, it's only like now, it's only been the last few years when I've started using the term, like, I'm ill. And then my wife will go mentally, physically, and I.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so now I will term being having a mental health, like a bit of a crisis, maybe, as I'm ill.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's a really it's a very strong term, as I said, but it resonates with me.
It
makes me think that
it gives it gravitas as well.
This is it,
and it's like when you're ill, if you're really like physically ill, you're allowed to let yourself off. You know, if you've got flu, you're allowed to go to bed for a week.
Yeah, right.
But if you go, I'm mentally ill, you know, like, God forbid that you'd admit you're mentally ill. No one does that.
Yeah.
But then if you go, like, but if you put it into terms of I'm ill, I kind of see it as you allow yourself to be ill.
Yeah.
So, and that is, like, and allowing yourself to be mentally unwell for a bit is a really good way of getting better. Because fighting it makes it worse.
Yeah.
And you were ill. Mm. And like, you were ill for a bit. Because every time I saw you, it was like, you weren't, something was up, something was going on. Yeah. But I tell you what I wonder if the reason why you're often so chaotic, it's because you've been living with anxiety for so long.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah. I'd say so.
So, if you don't feel anxiety, it's almost like you don't feel alive.
Yeah. Yeah, perhaps.
So, like, the chaos...
I was chatting to a friend today.
...keeps you on the edge of your seat all the time. Yeah. And that keeps you in that little state of anxiety.
Yeah.
And then if you don't feel the anxiety, you're anxious because you don't feel it.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's really true, actually. It's funny, I was having a chat today to a friend and they were like, they were sort of saying that me and them are similar in that I quite like deadlines and I like working right to the nub. I like leaving it. because I genuinely get my best results when I'm like, bang, I've got to fucking do this. Because I it's like I've sketched out what I've got to do 3 weeks ago. And then by that very point, it's like, bang, do it all. Get it all done.
But I wonder if
and I quite, that, like, I don't know why I do it.
That's just what you've got used to.
Perhaps, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think quite often
there's calmness like, in planning, right? And yeah. I just fuck that off.
Yeah. So, because it doesn't, because you can't deal with it because you're not in that state of anxiety.
No, but I can feel a sense of, I can feel a sense of calm now, actually. And that is helping me to approach work in a methodical way, like utilising my time at the studio doing podcasting, for example. It's like I've managed to somehow get to a point where I put everything together and then I'll go and I'll just finish everything at one point, which is good because it means that like the clients and people that I work with and stuff get everything at the same time. It's like it's a more methodical way. Whereas before, it's like, yeah. I mean, even when I was doing season two and this for you, it's like, yeah. Oh, shit, I got to download half a file and close my laptop. Nick, send me this, blah,
I know,
blah,
that's
blah.
Why I'm like, can you download like, that thing I sent
Can you download it now so you've got it on your fucking computer, you dickhead? It's like, yeah, I got it all.
But it's funny, because, like, I remember, like, being at university and people go, oh, no, I prefer to leave it to the last minute. That way it keeps me on the edge and then I'll do a good job. And then just seeing people not do a good job.
Yeah, flunk it.
Because
yeah.
They left it to the last minute. And then like when I did my degree like later on in life, I did everything. I was given like a day a week to do like essays and study. Uh-huh. And I didn't fucking do 8 hours. I did maybe 4 at the most. But that was enough.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So that I was always ahead of schedule, and I think you just get into this kind of state. You know, there's that idea that I've always done it that way, and that way works. And then you find out that the way you've always been doing
it's
it, it don't really work. Really, you've just told yourself it. You know, when people go, my mum and dad did it that way, so that's the way I do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, what, you know, the way when you stab yourself in the...
You do you know where that doesn't work back? With children?
Yeah.
Your mum, you have kids with somebody else, they don't know really, and then you both sets of parents have got their own issues, and they tell you how to do that, and you and your partner sit and go, can you all just fuck off and leave as soon as, because like... Well, if it worked for you, great. But I've got loads of fucking issues. I'm going to try and avoid those because you gave them me.
Yeah,
like, I love it, man. But yeah, sorry.
No, I just think it's like just that idea that we kind of think that sometimes the things we think work don't.
Yeah,
and I think it's important to be able to kind of sit
acknowledge
back and
it.
Go, you know, hold on, am I fucking this up? Because there's so. Like so much stuff with my mental health, and I'm like, yeah, but I know all of this. And then one day I was like, maybe I don't. And then that is when I went open myself up totally to therapy, and I went into therapy going, oh, you can't tell me nothing I don't know about myself, and then they tell me everything. Mm. And it was only because I was like, well, I'm prepared to open up to it now.
I tell you what's really interesting is that. When I spoke to somebody about stuff, I had this interpretation of using therapy as a fucking something to tell somebody else I was doing to make them feel better about my actions, right? And I've done it a couple times for that reason. But the minute I got in that room and was like, the difference was I really enjoyed it, and I was like, fucking hell, this is quite addictive actually. And I've got an addictive personality. Pardon the fucking, like, you know, inverted commas, whatever. And it really, it opened my eyes to, but again, as I've always said, like the conversation being paramount, but in that situation where you get to sort of just bleed dry and then they sort of say a few choice terms and you're like,
ooh.
Oh, right. Yeah. Fuck. Cool. Yeah. I'm really glad. Cause then you go home and think about that for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you do as well. You actually do. And then you start to feel guilt about things you've said to people or actions you've done, and then you bring that to the next one, and then it's realigned again by something else they say. It's like, yeah, but that has to have been responsive because you felt this, and you're like, ah, yeah, fuck, of course.
Yeah.
You know, and I've done it, and I'd love to do it more. And if I'm honest, it was a financial thing that I stopped doing it, and that's only like recently. But like it, and I'd always recommend, like, if you're stuck in a rut or a cycle, because it's cycle based, isn't it? I think, like, certain people I've been around and stuff, it's very clear that they benefit from just having a constant in their life as opposed to hitting cycles of thought.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of it too, but I kind of know roughly how to manage it by using friends and conversation. But it's like, and when people aren't open to it, it's like, this would benefit you so much. Like, if you're feeling shit every 3 months, that third month, go and talk to someone every day or every other day.
Yeah, I think it's like, but do you know it's what
I
mean? Also about,
I don't know, man.
I think the thing is, therapy is that you think, or you go there when you feel bad, and like, and yeah, that might be your driver for starting.
Yeah, but actually, it's but
like, you go there when you feel good as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it reaffirms the good things.
Yeah.
Danny McNamara, when he was on the podcast a while ago, and was saying, like, 99% of the time you should go and fucking have therapy or go to your doctors, and he went, nah, 100% of the time.
You should always go. Yeah.
Because it's not gonna be a bad thing. It will be difficult. Therapy's challenging.
Yeah, it is.
Right. This is the first now at the moment is like for the last month I'm not having any therapy at all. I've had therapy constantly every week for 3 years.
Yeah.
And this is since I started my new job, so what, 6 weeks ago maybe? I stopped.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I've had no therapy at all. I don't feel like I miss it because I got to a point when it felt like the right time to end and I didn't feel like I need it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I imagine I will need it again. Just through periods of struggle.
Yep.
But like, I kind of, like, therapist Peter, I stay in touch with, like, I can always just go and see him.
Yeah.
I want to hit on what you said about addictive personality.
Yeah.
So there is a school of thought that says there is no such thing as addictive personality.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, yeah.
And I agree with that. Yeah. I don't think there is such thing as addictive personality.
That's kind of why I said inverted commas.
Yeah. But I wanted to kind of pick up on it because I think it's an interesting point. I think that there are self-destructive people.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think it's more to do with self-destruction than addiction.
Uh-huh.
So the addiction is about either wanting to separate from your thoughts because your thoughts are bad, or I don't like myself, so I'm going to damage myself.
Yeah.
And I think it's those two.
Yeah.
I don't believe, and I do go with the school of thought, there's no such thing as addictive personality. There are people who are unwell.
Yeah.
And they become addicts.
That's right. Exactly. So like, if you consider addiction by like a drug or a substance, whatever it is, that is it's destructive. But or it's also reactive of a situation where you're unhappy.
Yeah.
And then by becoming addicted to that, it's because you're addicted to what that's done emotionally to you.
Yeah.
So even numbing, which is most like, you know, narcotics.
Under the banner of self-medication. I always stick it under the banner of self-medication.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So which is what, exactly
drug
what it
addict is medicating themselves because they're desperately unhappy.
Yeah, cool.
And you're desperately unhappy because of shit that's happened to you.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much always it. And I felt the other day when we jumping ahead, but we had someone who Warren had known for many years, we recorded with the other day, and then we were talking a little bit about, very little bit, brushing on stuff about like when you were younger.
Yeah.
And then for me, I went, ah.
Yeah.
I did kind of get into it a little bit with you at a point.
Yeah.
I was like, ah,
yeah.
I think I've got a working hypothesis.
Yeah,
nice. Working hypothesis. Yeah. Like why you might be the way you are.
Yeah. It relates like to my dad's job and everything else. Yeah, the football stuff. Yeah, totally. And that episode is really interesting to hear Kate and I talk, because I've known her since I was 13, right?
Yeah,
very interesting.
But yeah, really interesting. A really good, like...
So that's coming later in the series.
Yeah, yeah.
Oi, oi.
But an interesting thing to kind of, like, getting to know you a bit, because, like, more often than not, like, when we talk, we're talking about what's going on now.
Uh-huh.
So quite often when I see you, it's a bit of a debrief, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So
it
like, is, yeah. Like, oh, this has been going on.
I did the exact same thing today, yeah.
Yeah, so like you'll kind of tell me what's been going on. And
you tell me all the wonderful things you've been doing with guitars and stuff you've been creating.
Shit I've been doing at home because I've got a lot going on. But like,
it's a lot of good shit forthcoming on an amazing record, I think. But anyway, more of that later, eh?
Yeah, we have been doing some pretty, like, I guess we can't really talk about it, but no, something really amazing has happened recently, and what happened with that was, I think when you kind of stop looking for things to be good, and you start just kind of rolling with everything, but you're making an effort, always making an effort,
yeah,
then good things happen. Well, if you're desperate to kind of like make it in a band. I think more often than not, you stink of desperation and you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people might go, oh, they're really hungry. Oh, I want them because they're really hungry. But that like, being hungry for it is different to desperation.
I've got to say, I was in a band when I was fucking, how my sort of music career started, around in Grays, obviously. Yeah, like, which is mad, but like, I mean, we were hungry, but we were also really shit. Like, and that's why. Like, we got good eventually, but like it's interesting, isn't it? Because yeah, you got to have a bit of gumption about you as a human, ain't you? Just in general to get noticed in life.
That's
right?
What I say. It's about that. Like, yeah. Put like, gumption, efforts yeah. there. The efforts fucking yeah. there, and there's belief.
Yeah.
But I find like you know, like when you're desperately trying to have the biggest podcast in the world, yeah. then you probably ain't going to have the biggest podcast in the world. No, there's a certain amount of like life as a way of clicking in.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to kind of believe in the universe and that things uh-huh. will work out.
Yeah.
And since I've stopped like desperately chasing things so much, like good stuff started to happen.
Yeah. It will. And it's organic.
And it's just one of those weird things. And
I've got a lot of belief in that. And like, so, I mean, I think we're like with again like what's coming on the series. This series, like chatting to some bands and stuff. Like, and they're young and they're just that's been very opportune. That's what happened. But they've grafted.
Yeah, they've
and they're
grafted.
Good, right? And yeah. and they're lovely people, and they've got their own little journey and stuff. And it's like, I remember feeling like being an arsehole when I was in a band, because I had that sort of thing. I had that like you almost like using situations to progress, and I don't admire that, and I did it, but I don't admire it. I actually think it's a really shitty thing to do.
That really sums up what I was saying, actually. Yeah, yeah, thank you for that, because I felt like I was being a bit pie in the sky, but
no,
I think what you say is exactly right.
You use a situation to your advantage for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
And I think I don't resonate with that. And I admire those that are able to, because they succeed, right? And they really do, and fuck me, they're good people as well. But to be able to ladder climb and to use a certain type of person because you know that they'll give you your energy. And because they're excited just to be part of it. I mean, and like music, or it could be anything really, but those people exist. And like, I do think there's a time and a place now. I don't know where I sit spiritually, but I'm starting to believe more so that everything is sort of written based on your actions of what you're doing right now. I'm stopping to look in the past and even like negative energy from all of those types of people or whatever, because I know I used to do that when I was a teenager. So you can see what you do in other people, right? And they're like, they might reach upper echelon of fucking of stardom or whatever. But fundamentals are, if you're sort of your actions are fulfilled and you're happy doing what you're doing, then you're not using anyone other than you're actually engaging in friendships and engaging in positive times.
And friendships are the things that will take you forward.
100%.
So, like the idea that someone will help you out because they actually
just
because
they love you, mate.
But
yeah,
then if you behave differently to make that friendship,
yeah,
then you're an arsehole.
Yes. Yes.
So,
because equally,
so then you're being fake, and like being fake's bad.
In the music industry, there'll be people that work together that I've witnessed and stuff, and like there's people that work together that will be in each other's phones constantly. And I've seen this with like some friends of mine with other very famous people, and then they won't talk to them again after that project's over. They just won't. And it's like, I remember sort of saying to a pal of mine, like, really? Like, you like, and it's just a proper, like, dropped out of the sky, fuck you, I don't give a shit if you're alive or not. And it's like, that mentality for me is like, that's bad karma for you going forward now.
and
because actually, an emotive link to somebody, and when you're creating as well, especially, it's so important to have love in the people in that room. And
it
naturally
feels
comes.
Good as well, doesn't it?
Of course it does, because like, you feel that you've created something together.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not being used for it. Like, when we started tinkering with music, it was like, I knew that you're really, really good at something, and I knew I could do a lot with it. And like, and in the same way I met music with Lee and Chrissy and Broken Bricks and stuff, like, when I met those people in my life at certain times, it was all very much a give situation. We were like pushing into, and it's energy, good energy.
Yeah.
And I might not be famous at all, whatever, don't give a fuck, really. I've made some really lovely music in my life. And good things come. I might have to eradicate some of more of the bad in me. I don't know. But I'll fucking get there, you know?
But it's funny what you said there, which I thought was a really good point, was you can only go from now.
Mm.
And I think that's quite an empowering thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you might have lived a life where awful things have happened to you.
Yeah, but
and those things are going to scar you, and they're going to they will influence your behaviour. But you can only go from now. You can make a decision to move forward and go, right, I'm not going to let that influence me anymore.
Yeah,
And I'm just going to go from now. And you can always go from now.
Yeah, and that's a lovely sentiment, right?
Yeah,
it's the thing of like I met again like someone I've met recently. They have gone through a lot of trauma, but their outlook on life is very positive.
Mm.
And it's like, that's wicked. Because you're changing, your perspective of life is immediately happy. And it's like, I really rate that.
Yeah.
Because, even if you're carrying the fucking weight of the world, you can still communicate to somebody else in a positive, lovely way and consider somebody else's feelings and stuff as well. It's like, It's a massively like admirable thing. Not that I always do it because I fucking don't.
No, at all. I find myself getting eaten up when I see my friends doing really well on their podcasts. Like, that eats me up all the time, and it's really, really stupid.
It is stupid because you're doing something firstly completely different.
Yeah,
and secondly, it's just put the right energy into what you're doing. And, you know, like
it's the expectations. You have expectations.
But yes, yeah.
And expectations are really bad.
Yes, they are. Yeah, they're shitty. I'm all about that. I've spoken about it bundles. And but it basically was, every podcast
you know,
I've ever
like
recorded.
The guy, Barry, so we had someone, like, we shouldn't talk about future podcasts, but, like, there aren't any fucking rules on alpha manliness.
No. It's coming.
Yeah. But,
This is a teaser. This is our first one.
Yeah, from Oxygen Thief. And he was saying how, like, he has to switch off social media. And I speak to quite a few people. Like, Buddy Peace said he had to have a break from social media.
Big up, BP.
And he was saying, like, and he would look at it and he'd go, oh, Ginger Wildheart liked their album, but not mine.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know Ginger.
Yeah.
And, like, Ginger's fucking... You know, he's got like mental health problems like me. He's not like he's not that fucking invested in it.
No, he's not. No.
You know, and it's like, but yet you're invested in the opinion, and it's like,
yeah,
that's a complete waste of time. Mm. waste of time.
Of course it is.
But we all do it. One thing I've really got from talking to musicians, because obviously I always wanted to be a rock star, and like that, actually realizing that there's no such thing as the I've been watching a lot of Oasis stuff lately.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm in my room and my hair's short, so I'm like, right, when it gets a bit longer, I'll go Liam Gallagher, I just can't help myself.
You're a bit Liam standing on the shoulder of giants now, though.
Am I?
Because he had that little,
crop. Oh, there. Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm a bit like, and what happened? So I was watching this Oasis documentary, like for the fifth time or whatever, and I'm just like, my heart's breaking. It really is. Like I've got this horrible feeling in my gut because I know I'll never do it. I'll never be Liam Gallagher. I'll never be Noel Gallagher.
Yeah.
And it's like. And I have to talk to myself and go, what are you fucking doing?
Yeah, of course.
Because, like, record deals like that don't exist anymore.
No.
And
not
even
at
if
all.
You were like.
Not even 2% of it.
Yeah.
It's gone.
So even if you got close to that, it wouldn't
exist.
Be anything like that anyway.
Doesn't
so all
exist.
The bands we've spoken to, I'm like, oh, when you got your record deal, what changed? Nothing.
Nothing. I still go to work on Monday. And
yeah. Like, one guy had two jobs.
Yeah,
and it's like
it's pretty normal though. Like you know, it's and that's it's so it's a sadness, isn't it? Because I mean, I think I left school in the year 2000. So like I did, yeah. So I'm 38 this year. So yeah, that's right. So it's like that was like the last year of like proper money in records, I think.
Yeah.
Like at the drive-in, had a deal with like Roadrunner, and then they got like Sony Distribution or whatever the fuck. And it was like, and the Strokes had like Rough Trade was massive, and then everything
yeah, but they
just
didn't
went
do, but
bang.
Like the Strokes didn't do that well out of it all. Like
no, of course
the
not.
Bands
no.
after them did really well.
Yeah.
Like the Strokes didn't do that well out of it all. Like
yeah,
they pioneered it.
They were from money anyway, mate. It didn't
well,
matter.
Yeah, some of them were, yeah.
Casablancas is he did all right. Don't worry about that.
Oh fuck! There was something else I wanted to come back to about that though.
Just about money, like record deals not existing.
Yeah, no. I've also listened to this thing with Stephen Street, who produced
Blur,
Smiths, and Blur. He actually didn't produce that much.
He produced Part Life, didn't he?
Oh, he did most of the Blur songs. And just generally, he was saying that how like bands would come in and they'd be like, yeah, right, get a room full of guitars and a room full of like organs. And, organs. And like a room full of amps. And he'd go, no. And they'd go, record company's going to pay for it. And he'd go, no.
No.
You're
paying
for
it. Yeah, because you are. Yeah,
and so he was always really strict on like, no, we don't go over time. We don't buy it, get stuff in for the sake of it, because actually you're
it's coming out
it.
Of your budget.
Yeah. So in the end, when you end up owing fucking local company loads of money.
Yeah.
But it's just
because you wanted like 200 vintage Telecasters sat in the fucking room not being played.
Yeah. And the best guitar players don't do that anyway.
Nah, you got like two or three you use.
Yeah,
it.
Like I've got loads, but like I only really use, you only
yeah,
use
but
one
you
or
only
two,
use one or
you?
Two. Yeah.
Exactly.
The rest of them are just trophies, aren't they?
Childhood
trophies because there's shit you wanted.
Some of them are childhood trophies, yeah.
Of course, yeah, mine are. I've got a few still. That, like, yeah.
Yeah, I've got more than one. Warren's collection is quite embarrassing.
We literally just said musicians have two or three guitars. I just had to strip it down. I've moved that.
Oh, no, it's funny. It's funny because it's like, that's all I've got. You know, like, it's like, oh, I've got loads of guitars. And there was this point when it was like, I've got loads of guitars just so I could say to my friend John Bennett, and it really was, my friend John Bennett, he used to play guitar and serious problem.
Yeah.
So I could go, one day we'd have a practice, and I'd have a better guitar, better amps, and more pedals.
Yeah, nice.
Because I used to have fuck all.
Yeah,
and it really is. And it's just like, why?
Oh, it's comedy.
So now it's more of a case of getting things that I really, really want.
Exactly. So we're at an hour. Let's wrap up.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of decent episodes to come.
Yeah, it's a really good season. So far, we've done a handful of episodes.
Yep. We have some people from the wellbeing areas. We have musicians. We've got loads of other lovely conversations between us two coming up too, which is nice.
Like one of them was one we did recently, like the one with your friend. I think that was one of the best episodes we've ever done.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really good one coming up with Kate. Yeah.
So, yeah, and we've got loads more in the diary. So this is going to be a really good season, everyone. So, please come and listen to us. Check us out on all the socials.
Yeah, yeah.
Become a patron. I'm really shit at putting stuff on Patreon.
Well, maybe we'll put some more conversations of us discussing our little topic.
Yeah, maybe we need to put more things on Patreon. But
let's do that.
Yeah, Patreon pays for like Zoom, yeah. Basically.
Nice. Yeah, sweet. Done.
Yeah. So thanks, everyone. Thank you. Welcome back. We kind of kick off proper next week.
Yeah. Cool, cool. Lovely to be here. Yeah. See you in a bit.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.